Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everyone. Time for the Monday Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Purdy Insurance, for all your insurance needs, get to purdyinsurance.com. Quite the interesting weekend. I don't know how many people got a chance to watch the NBA All-Star game, but 211 points seemed to be a little ridiculous in my view, but now it seems, you know, the big consensus today is what do we do? How do we fix the All-Star game? It's one of those things that I can't get super wound up about just because it's an All-Star game and it doesn't really mean much. I get, you know, I see people talking about maybe not playing it, you know, do things like that, but that seems to, you know, stuff like that generates way too much money to cancel it or to not play it, to not figure out, to get it. I don't know if it wasn't entertaining, but I don't know if it was. I think the issue was it wasn't quite basketball, though, either. It was more of a, I don't know, I think I've seen shoot-arounds a little better defense than we saw last night. I think that's part of the issue.
Well, everybody knows I've been anti-All-Star anything for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of All-Star games, like, you know, it's just, after a while, it's like, eh. You know, it's interesting when we were younger. Here's the appeal of the All-Star game when we were younger. Because every game is on TV. So we get to see everybody. And I've talked about this many times before, you know, so people know. And I don't care whether it's baseball. You know, I'm living up in New England. I mean, we never got to see Willie Mays or Hank Aaron or Roberto Clemente or Bob Gibson unless it was the World Series. So it was intriguing, like, to see them. Same thing with basketball, right? Yeah, you might see the Lakers on. But, you know, suddenly out of nowhere, there's a guy that's playing for the Portland Trail Blazers you hadn't seen before. All right? Well, yeah, I heard a lot about Jeff Petrie. Okay, well, you know, good's Jeff Petrie. It's like, you know. And now you see every game. So that part's gone. Okay? And I think that with it, the entire thing is going downhill. And I think people are interested in the skills competition. I think the novelty of Sabrina Ionescu against Steph Curry was fun. Now, I'll freely admit to everybody, I did not see any of this. So I didn't see any of the All-Star game or the All-Star weekend. Not because of lack of interest or protest or anything like that. No. I did the Nebraska game, got back from 6 o'clock. I then drove to Rochester because I wanted to watch my grandson play hockey. He's 7 years old. And then I drove back. So I missed all of this, you know, because I didn't get up there until like 10:15 at night. I mean, got in the hotel, immediately went to sleep. I mean, immediately went to sleep. You know, and then, so I didn't see any of it. And that, but would I have watched the game? No, because I don't have any interest in it anymore. And I just don't. I think the most disturbing part of the All-Star weekend is quite simple. It was the news made off the court. And I give Adam Silver some credit because he did negotiate all of this with the Players Association. But and that is about the 65-game deal. Jaylen Brown, who's a heck of a player, he really is a terrific player. But he says instead of 65, it should be 58 games. Man, I'm sorry. How in this world can you come up with that? How can you come up with that? Because he thinks 60. This is now 65 is needed to qualify for the All-NBA team. Needed to qualify for whether you're the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, you know, all the stuff that goes with it. And I know that means bonuses as well. And if you get injured, not hurt, but injured, I can see how you can talk about the possibility. Take, for example, Joel Embiid. Look, he's out for the rest of the season, all right? He's at least out for the rest of the regular season, but probably, like, the whole thing. And so he's not going to qualify for anything, even though he was averaging better than a point per minute of play, which has not happened in the NBA since Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 per game back in 1962. So what he was doing was on a historic level. Minutes played, and points per game. You know, no, it's points per minute was better than one. This doesn't happen. But he's not going to be able to qualify for anything because of the number of games that he's played. He can't qualify for the All-NBA team. He can't qualify for the MVP voting, right? Because they have a problem. And your ability to really have an opinion on this or to get reasonable opinions on it is blunted by the fact that those who cover the sport fear having their access to players cut off if they have a contrary opinion to playing fewer games and to have a contrary opinion to load management. You know, I think they fear having their access cut off by the players. Not by the teams, but by the players. I'm not talking to you. Great. Right? And that's what, and I think that has shaped some of the opinions surrounding load management in recent years has been that fear. That's me. Right? I don't understand why there haven't been more forceful commentaries on load management from those that cover the league. And I finally sat back and said, you know what? They fear the players. They fear the access or the lack thereof if they deliver a contrary opinion. Hey, you have people out there working 250 days a year if they're working a five-day week with vacations. You know, and maybe some other time off along the way. So they're working, let's just say, if you add in holidays. Say they get a two-week vacation, you add in holidays. They're working 240 days a year. Right? That guy over there making $340 million wants to work 58? Now, that's a great job if you can get it. Right? Dick Girardi and I always had this running joke between the two of us. Right? Less work, more money. And we always kid each other about that all the time. Less work, more money. I got to give the NBA guys credit. Some of them are attempting to perfect it. And the entire purpose of playing and having sports is to attract people to watch it, which in the end will bring in money. I need you to watch it. If you could pay your cable bill, that would be great. I need you to watch it. If you go to the arena and pay for the parking and the concessions and the tickets, we'd love to have you. Right? It's the leagues that don't draw well that have folded over the years. USFL, WFL, ABA, right? WHA. I mean, they've folded because of they could draw some people, but not enough to turn profits. The entire purpose, you know, of being in an entertainment industry is you have to show up for it. And the more we watch this, the more you do have to openly ask the question, whether it's the team making the choice, like Steven Strasburg with the Washington Nationals way back when, or with Kawhi Leonard, is it even working? Is it even working? Guys are still getting hurt. Kawhi still got hurt in the playoffs last year. Strasburg still had problems after they shut him down that year with a chance to get to the playoffs. I mean, you have to openly ask the question. Okay, you're doing it. Does it work? I'm not so sure it is.
I feel like if there's something there that makes you worried enough to make that decision, it's probably always going to be there. I mean, you know, it's not natural, you know, in the case of Steven Strasburg to throw that hard. You know, things break.
Yeah, it's not easy being a pro athlete. It's not easy having to play 82 games. But if it was easy, everybody could do it. It was easy, everybody could do it. But you have the best of travel. You travel in first-class seating on jets, you know, which are charters, by the way, but they're first-class seats. They are not traveling on charters with coach seats, okay? They're traveling on charters with first-class seats. They are staying at the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton when they're on the road, okay? All right, they're not staying over at the Motel 6. They have cold tub, hot tub, massage. They have their own personal therapist. I mean, you know, you name it. Oh, and by the way, half the games are at home. I mean, there's so many things where they've got a real image problem when it comes to this, because you've got people out there working two and three jobs trying to make ends meet right now because of how high inflation has been. Right? I mean, everything's gone up in price. So some people have taken on an extra job here or there. Meanwhile, you got a guy complaining over here that's making tens of millions of dollars saying, man, I tell you, you know, for the awards thing, we should be getting 58 games, not 65. Like, going, here's something like, oh, really? Everything is all about people, especially the stars. Okay? I'm not saying, and I say this with all due respect, the vast majority of people are not paying their money to see Dante DiVincenzo play. With all due respect, who's a fine player. But they aren't paying their money to see him. Okay? They're paying their money to see Embiid. They're paying their money to see Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Giannis. I mean, when they come to town, they want to see him. And, you know, Luka Doncic. Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's the people they're paying to see. That and some other people are probably entering into the conversation now, like Banchero and guys like that. But that's who they're paying to see. That's why you have stars, right? Do I care? And again, with all due respect, it's a name that came up today. It's the only reason why I'm saying it. Okay, if I hear Dante DiVincenzo is sitting out tonight, am I sitting there going, oh, darn? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, hope he's all right. Good player. He could help us tonight, but okay. But if I'm told that Brunson's going to sit out, I'd be like, whoa. Now, Brunson doesn't sit out. But you can't keep expressing this attitude that you want to do less as a player, because you've already got a problem with the working public that right now is trying to cobble together an extra job here or there to try and make their ends meet. And you're over there like, okay, really? Hey, that's an image problem. Which days do hockey players take off? Which days do football players take off? Which days do baseball players take off? Now, it's a 162-game schedule, so yeah, you're going to sit somebody out. Okay, we're going to give him the day off today, or he's going to DH. Because we've had a lot of games, like 10 games in the last 12 days. And everybody accepts that because it's a three-game series, and guess what? In the three-game series, he ended up playing two of the three games. Okay. All right. As opposed to a one-off like the NBA is. I mean, you're an entertainment industry. You have an obligation to the fans. Right? And sometimes I wonder how much of a priority that truly is. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll do a great job of insuring whatever it is you need to have insured, and do it in such a way where they'll get you the best price. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, so I never thought I'd see a basketball game with 211 points in it. Or what? How much did they score?
It was 211 to 189, I think.
Imagine scoring 189 points and losing by 22. Wow.
I saw somebody say, imagine taking the over 350 points and losing.
That's true. Right, exactly. That's just incredible. Again, I didn't see his. The only thing I saw was, I guess Bob Ryan made a critical comment about it from the Boston Globe. And when they put a clip on the article, and it showed somebody just taking the ball and launching it from, I don't know, 70 feet, maybe? And the comment was, well, that was early in the shot clock. And, of course, it just bounced off the backboard, and it bounced out to midcourt.
I really don't know what you do about it. I mean, how do you enforce effort?
I don't know.
I mean, money, but they make so much money. How much money are you going to pay them to get them to put in effort into an exhibition game?
They're not going to.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you want to talk about effort. What about the largest student-run philanthropy in the world? Nearly $17 million raised for Thon. Wow. Wow. That's a record. They've now raised $211 million in 51 years for the Four Diamonds Fund. All the effort that's put in, it is something that really you can't describe how great it is.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle. They'll make sure you're fully insured, make sure you get the best price, and that means they'll go out of their way to find you ways to save money, because customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay, let's turn our attention to Bucknell basketball with John Griffin with Holy Cross next on the road in Worcester, and then Army coming up on Sunday. John, first of all, welcome to the show, especially thanks for joining us after what had to be obviously a couple of close games, but a tough week.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, of course. Always happy to be on with you and appreciative that you continue to let me talk.
I always enjoy the conversation. I learn a lot when it's all said and done. John Griffin, the player, was a real competitor. In fact, Pat Flannery was on the trip to Nebraska with us over the weekend, and your name came up, and in glowing terms, by the way.
Yeah.
But you are a real competitor. How much does that translate to your coaching? And sometimes does John Griffin, the coach, have to temper John Griffin, the competitor, in certain moments because you have to deal with young people?
Early in my career, that was probably more of the case, just being that you're young and you're fiery and, every moment of every day seemingly is important that stage in life in coaching. Right now, no, I mean, of course, I'm competitive. I have a staff of competitors as well.
Yep.
And so we kind of lead with our competitive attitudes as opposed maybe to, treating every situation like it has to be perfect, I guess. So I think that what I try to do is teach what competitiveness really entails. A lot of times it can get lost in this idea of playing hard, but competing is really doing everything in your power, in your willpower to win, more or less. Yeah. So, and that just means that you have to take every moment separately and treat every moment at its own, and you have to try to win every single situation. So that's my role right now. I can tell you that my players would tell you that I'm very competitive and that I preach competitiveness pretty regularly, but I also live my life in a competitive nature. And I think attitude reflects leadership. So I try to be consistent, but also be fair because, as you mentioned, Pat Flannery, his mentorship has been so impactful in my life. But both player and coach, as it relates to being a coach, he's always often telling me, not everyone is you. So you're trying to do your part in teaching your players how to compete, in every situation. And so I've tempered that over the years. And at the same time, I want to make sure that the group understands what it means to compete, because you can kind of yell until you're blue in the face. If no one really understands, what you're teaching them, then it's not going to be as applicable.
Well, and that's something that we've talked about before. It doesn't matter what you know. It matters what they know. So when it comes time to talk to them about what's coming up or how to approach it, how do you approach it with your group? Because, again, it matters on what, in the end, what they know.
Yeah, I mean, that is a question that internally we're constantly trying to answer. What's the most effective and efficient way to teach so that the group that you have is not only confident in one another and confident in what they know, but also, very comfortable so that in the heat of the moment, can rely on their instincts, the instincts that we've tried to teach since we've been hired, and just be a basketball player. I often speak about this idea of being a basketball player, and it's a pretty general idea, but essentially what you're trying to do is teach a group of young people to react to situations, make decisions that would help your team be successful real time, in the moment, with referees, with an opponent that's doing the same thing you're doing. And a lot of times your opponent's going to do something that you didn't prepare for in that situation. So, you know, you just have to be a basketball player. And a lot of that, the idea of that really comes down to how well we teach as a staff that, like I said, your players just are completely understanding what you're trying to accomplish on both offense and defense.
You have people now logging a fair amount of minutes for you. You're in mid-February. How are you tailoring practices right now because of that?
Well, I'm probably doing, we're doing a lot of teaching, you know, and so we'll go 90 minutes instead of what used to be maybe early January, mid-January, more 4-minute games, 10-minute segments of competition. We've shortened that window of time, and now we're really making sure that everybody that is playing, because of injuries, we have guys playing different positions. Everyone who's playing in these different positions just knows where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, because that organization is a big part of it.
I do have to ask you, you have been a part of a program at Bucknell that set the standard in the Patriot League. You're in the process of getting Bucknell back where they're setting the standard in the Patriot League. But right now, at the moment, it's been Colgate that has done that. In the end, what impressed you in facing them this year that is something that down the road Bucknell will be able to do?
They're poised. I mean, so what you have, what Matt Langel has built right now is a program that is has been blessed with continuity. They haven't had anybody transfer out, so that certainly helped. They have had, in the last 6-7 years, really high-level individual playmaking ability from their guard positions. But their experience has set an expectation level as to essentially what type of offense and what type of possessions they want to have. And they don't get rattled. I mean, you can see it. It's very evident when you watch them play, when we played them twice now. You know, you can throw a slew of different schemes their way, and based on experience and continuity, they seem to react accordingly. Their decisions are very sound. They don't turn it over. And ultimately, they, what I would say, is get what they want to get on both sides of the floor, and it's impressive.
Okay, your team, and we talked about the minutes being logged to this point. You got to go on the road. Once you got to go to, you got to go to Holy Cross to get up there. And this does go back to, like, I mean, it's interesting because the legs part of it, because you guys have to bus, and it's a fact of life. I understand that. I mean, you do have to go through the fact of life part. But what's your thought on Holy Cross and how they're playing at this point?
They're playing good basketball. Everyone at this point right now really is the Patriot League is unique. I mean, it's probably one of the unique conferences around the country in that there's so much parity. Aside from Colgate, who plays tonight, they could clinch first place in the regular season. Everyone else is pretty close in standings from top to bottom. So they're playing good basketball. But you know what, Steve? Like, at this point in the year, it's, and I preach this pretty regularly, our success will be dependent upon what we do as a team, not necessarily our opponents.
Right.
So,
you
know, the legs are a factor for sure. I mean, Jack Forrest is number one in our conference in minutes played, and Elvin Edmonds is number 2.
Yeah.
And a big reason for that has just been injuries, quite frankly. And so hopefully, you know, we'll be a little bit more complete as we get here down the stretch, but it's certainly put a lot of mileage on some of our guys.
Yeah, and I mean you're down to the final four of the regular season before the Patriot tournament starts along the way, and that's going to be, you know, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But you're also at a point where you play Holy Cross. You played them on January 3rd.
Right.
I mean, how different are they then compared to now? Because that was weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're still doing some of the same things, but their lineups have changed a little bit, and some of their offensive schemes have changed a bit. But you know, like I said, you know, at this point in the year, with our particular group having lost a couple in a row, and you know, our group's playing very hard. They're maxing out, I think, physically right now, and I'm very appreciative for it. So, in order to do my part, I have to make sure that they are completely organized and confident in themselves, regardless of our opponent, because that's going to be the key contributor to some world of success here as we head into these last four games. I mean, this is going to be a tough road trip, like you said, facts of life. But you guys played Nebraska. Penn State flies Nebraska. We're going to – it's shorter for you to get to Nebraska than it will be for us to bust
exactly.
Worcester.
No, exactly. You know, it's funny because Dick Girardi and I were talking about this. Penn State bust to Rutgers and then bust back, and because it was an 8:30 game, got back at 4:30 in the morning, and that's a fact of life for you sometimes. As you know, I'm not telling you anything. That was a tougher trip than the Nebraska trip.
I mean, yeah,
that's just a fact of life. That's why I asked you about legs this time of the year. What do you do with practices? What about? I don't think I use the term mental reps, but the number of mental reps you have to take.
Yeah, we try to watch as much film as possible so that we can keep our players off their feet, but. I think our attitude as a staff will contribute to the energy levels of our players. And this, for us, anyway, going to Holy Cross, we just take it for what it is. We don't complain about it. And we have a mentality of no excuses. We put our hard hats on and go. But it is a tough trip, and we've already made one before. We actually bused to Boston midweek during school, which is unique. Student athletes at Bucknell, I mean, it's a challenge. So we got home at 5 a.m. Last time we did a midweek trip, and the Patriot League has never done this before, so I think this is I just think it's a little bit unhealthy. But then they have to go to class the next day, and that's just the model that we have in place, and our players know that. But it's certainly challenging to go 6.5 to Worcester, play a game, bust it back, and go right to class.
All right. What do you say that you get a sweep this week and we talk on Monday?
One day at a time around here, Steve. One day at a time. But, yeah, that would be nice.
Yes. Well, my idea is that you take your one day, you win, then you go to the next day and you win that. So that's
I'll take that. Hey, you know what? Yeah. You said it. Let's do it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Thanks. All
right. John Griffin, head basketball coach at Bucknell. All right, we'll come back. The news of the day, by the way, is on the basketball side, and Mike Rhodes has announced that Kanye Clary has been dismissed from the program. And so his career at Penn State is done. And so he was asked to elaborate on it. He says, nope, it was coaching decision. And so Kanye Clary is no longer with the Penn State basketball program as Mike made the decision or announced the decision today. His quote was, Kanye is no longer with the team. Coach's decision. We're going to keep moving forward on the guys we got, the task at hand. It came to a point where we're at that I made the decision as the head coach to move on. I'll leave it at that. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So Kanye Clary officially dismissed from the Penn State basketball team and led the team in scoring. Was leading them in scoring at the time of his injury when he got... It was inadvertent when Parker Fox hit him and then he was out for a couple of games that Penn State won without him, and then he came back for the Iowa game and was not quite in gear. And as time went, I mean, Mike finally made the decision that for Mike's reasons, it was enough. So he dismissed him. And he wasn't going to comment any further on that. And that's it. So, yeah. Did not make the trip to Nebraska. But that's a decision a coach has to make, and he has to do it what he thinks is best for the program all the way through. I know people want to have me sit here and say, what do I know about it? And I understand that. But again, it does go back to, look, I've talked about this many times. What happens there stays there. And if you were sitting in my chair instead of yours, you would understand why I say that. Because, yes, I'm around almost all the practices. Yes, I'm there in film sessions. Yes, I'm traveling with them. Yes, I'm in hotels with them. So I'm around them all the time. So do I understand what Mike is doing and what he's saying and why he's doing it? Yes. Am I going to take it any further than that? No. And again, if you were sitting in my chair instead of your chair, okay, if I were sitting in your chair, I'd ask the questions. If you were sitting in my chair, you'd answer them the way I'm sitting, the way I'm asking them. So I completely understand the questions you would have, and I'm sure after all these years, you that you would expect that that would be the answer I would give, because Mike has to be allowed to be the one to explain why and how, not me. It would not be fair to Mike if I did that.
I guess my comment on that would be, if maybe not this last one with Nate because it was more football, but your conversation with Nate Bauer a couple weeks ago, you could tell I don't want to say something was going on, but there was something. I guess I am going to say it. Something going on behind the scenes with some of the things that you guys said. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, sure, no question, and in the end. You move forward. And I know that they are a team that on Saturday, Dick and I felt they looked a little tired at Northwestern because they just finished a stretch of playing four of their last six on the road. Now, believe it or not, the most brutal of the trips, so let's go back to my conversation with John Griffin moments ago, the most brutal of trips was actually the first one. You're playing four out of six on the road. The first one was the toughest one, and that was the bus trip to Rutgers. 8:30 game. Game gets over at, I don't know, it was a little bit after, maybe about 10:45 it got over. I know I left before they did. Because I drove. But I only went halfway back. I stayed in Hazleton. And then got up and then got back. Because I didn't have to teach a class or anything because it was a Thursday morning. And they went all the way back, and they got back at like, I don't know, 4:10 in the morning or some number like that. And that, I mean, that's hard. And then, that's Thursday morning. And then you do a couple, some walkthrough stuff, some film work on Thursday afternoon. And guess what? They had to get on a plane on Friday, and they had to fly out to Indiana. Okay, and they won that game too. Then you get back. You do have a home game in the middle of all this, and that was the Iowa game, right? And then you had to get back on a plane and go back out to Northwestern for the Super Bowl Sunday game. And at that point, it was the first time we started to look at it. You could just see the legs were just starting to slow down a little bit. And then the Michigan State game, and a team that wants to run anyway. And, it just kind of seemed like there were times where Penn State, like the mind and the body were on two different wavelengths. And then, of course, on Saturday, Nebraska had just had its full week off. And it was the first time all season Nebraska had a break. They don't get their other break until the last week of the season like Penn State. Penn State doesn't get its last break until before the Maryland game, the last game. Like who schedules this stuff? Really? You have a bye week before your last game? Really? Like, how about when a team could use it? So, I felt like it wasn't the fact they gave up 68. When they gave up 68, Nebraska shot 44%. not a great number for them. 19% in three, not a great number for them. But all of Penn State's numbers, 30% overall, 20-something percent in threes. I don't know. I think they were under 50% at the free throw line. That's all legs. That's all legs. Like, okay. You know, so they had yesterday off. They'll get back to work today. And then they go into Rec Hall tomorrow. And this is what I've been referring to as the five games, five arenas tour. They played at Nebraska. They'll play in Rec Hall. They'll play at the Jordan Center. Then they go to Iowa. Then they go to Minnesota. Five games, five arenas.
I'm not sure I realized tomorrow's game was in Rec Hall.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday,
yep. This is, and the Lady Lions are playing in Rec Hall on Thursday. So you got, you know, they have to, you know, you have to rent a court, buy a court, whatever. You have to install it in a Rec Hall. Right? So since they're going to put it in, they're going to use it for two games this week.
Makes sense.
Yep. So it's and against a team that I think is the most athletic team in the conference in Illinois. And you want to talk about a team that attacks the boards, they attack the glass. So we'll see. We'll see how they play. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.